WJR Net Control for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. My name is Paul. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater, 146655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boonville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times. You can break the net at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Over. Hearing none, are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? Over. This is WX2PJR, net control for the Black River Valley service net. I will now take calls from regular members and guests.
N2PFM, good evening.
KA2ZNZ,
hi Paul.
KD2AIT, good evening.
Alright, there's three good ones. We got K2PFM, N2PFM, sorry George, KA2ZNZ, KD2AIT, and let's head up to the top, N2PFM. George, come on in.
Oh, good evening, Paul, and everyone on the net. By the way, there is a KB2PFM down out and still around. You had a lot of changed call signs. There was one down in the central New York area, so bear in mind, I've been confused with them already. I've got a temperature of 13 degrees here on the mountainside. Temperature range today was 9 to 22. And we had sun most of the day, for which I'm glad. Charges up the solar panels, charge up the batteries here and everything. Less electricity you got to use from National Grid. Well, I hate to ask you about this, but I'm hoping that maybe Jeff or somebody here, NLT's quite busy and all of that too, someone could somehow sit down with me for a couple of hours and just show me a few things of arts and stuff with the computers, how to work PayPal, how to, when they screw up your address and everything, how to change it, because without that I can't buy anything with eBay or anything, you know, a few things like that. I'd like some tips on some stuff people could show me, but I don't know, it just seems, try and get anyone to do that for you, you might as well talk to the wall, so hoping someone might be able to do something, maybe Jeff or someone could do something for me like that one day. Oh, anyway, I'll stop the belly aching. Say God bless in 73s. Jack and everybody else, take care. N2PFM clear.
Yeah, all right there, George. Not too bad with that, I guess. 16 degrees here currently. Yeah, sun was out here most of the day for the time I was here anyway. Down in Lowville, it was pretty decent, but up towards Watertown way, not so much. Whole different ballgame up there, whole different world from what I've been told. Had some people come in when I was at work from Watertown way, and they were like, it's night and day difference. Lowville's beautiful, and Watertown is pretty much a mess. Anyways, though, but yeah, I have an issue with PayPal, I think it was last April, May-ish, I think it was, and it took me almost, 2-3 weeks to get that squared away. It was a pain. Anyways, I just kind of fought through it and kind of kept sending emails at them, and they finally got it squared away and found out it was really me. Anyways, though, thanks for the check-in there, George. Have a good one, and let's go to Jack, K2ZNZ.
Good evening, Paul, everybody on board. We're right here, Jeff and George and yourself and whoever else is on the side. Yeah, we didn't have too bad a day here. We started at about 2 degrees. We got up in the low 20s, and right now we're, let's see, we're 13.5. I know the National Weather Service said that Whitney Point, which is down near Binghamton, was 15 below at 8 o'clock this morning. And they were there with some kind of a exhibitor booth, so I guess that's fairly official. And yeah, a wide range of weather going on through the state, that's for sure. And I know there's still a warning in effect for the Watertown, for Jefferson County, actually. But anyways, down here was a mostly sunny day, and our daughter joined us for breakfast, and And then the wife and I did some grocery shopping and back to the house. So, 7-3 is all around. KA2000.
Right there, Jack. Not too bad with that. Yeah, it was about, oh, I think, 1 or 2 this morning here. It was pretty chilly. We were, got maybe an inch of snow overnight. It kind of settled down, kind of moved down over the area for a little bit, lightened up and dumped a little bit on us, but that was about it. Yesterday, on the other hand, we had about 8 inches, so, yeah, it's about, oh, I don't know, 23 inches on the ground here right now. And then the very base, there's about 2 inches of, like, solid ice. So it's kind of crazy. But anyways, yeah, up in that neck of the woods, Watertown way, it's a little extreme up there. Anyways, though, good with all that. Thanks for the check-in there. And let's go down to KD2AIT. Jeff, come on in.
Good evening, this is KD2AIT. We're up here at camp. We had a good couple of days up here. We got up here yesterday afternoon, and then today we did some snowmobiling, and then the wife came up, and we had some lunch, and we did a little snowmobiling ourselves, and just up here around North Lake, not too far, you know, maybe 3 or 4 miles, just kind of around on the road and stuff, and then down into camp, and a little deep in here. 3-4 feet of snow in here, so, you know, it's a slow going with a snowmobile. Sometimes it just wants to tip, and, you know, but anyway, we've been pretty happy with the solar panels up here. We used quite a bit of power yesterday, and then sun today, it pretty much charged the moments all the way back up, so I was really happy with that. It's getting that time of year, the sun's getting hotter, so you're getting more charge out of it, and it's really working out great. I have more power than I need up here, and that's the way I like it. And as far as PayPal goes, PayPal's tricky, especially right now, because they were just exposed with a big, I wouldn't call it a hack, but, you know, social engineering, I guess, is what it is. You know, they had a person use, you know, call into PayPal and pretend to be somebody else, and you know, guessed the last 4 digits of somebody's credit card number, and they guessed it wrong, and the person said, that's not right. They just hung up and called back, and they just keep doing it, so they guessed the right last four digits, and it was a big write up there in the tech blogs. You can look it up, where it basically ended up where a guy lost his Twitter account, which was N, that's all it was. It was a very valuable Twitter account. So anyway, right now, they are in heightened alert over there, so if you're trying to get them to do something that you can't verify, you're going to have a hard time with it. So perseverance is mostly what you're going to need to go through there. And I know I had the same issue changing my address with them. In fact, I just got that resolved not that long ago, and I moved over 5 years ago. So it's, you know, sometimes with them, it's like dealing with the government. You just got to butt your head up against the wall and hope. Something gets solved. So I don't know, George, if I can give you much help or not with that. I mean, feel free to email me. Like, you know where my email address is. It's right there on my website. And I'll give you whatever pointers I can. I'm not that close to you up there. Pete's probably closer. But as busy as he is, I think I'm about twice as busy as he is. I got a lot going on. I'm lucky to be able to get up here this weekend as it is. So but I'll help you out, whatever you need, and email, and that's not a problem. Otherwise, we're just sitting up here at camp. We're having a good time. It's, it's 13 degrees here. We got a wood stove going, and it's 72 degrees inside the camp. We're kicking back. We're having a cold one, and listening to the net. So we'll return it to you, Paul. This is KD2AIT, clear and listening.
It took me not that long, but it locked it up actually with me because I went to change it and I screwed it up somehow. I don't know what I put in there, but yeah, back in like April or May, I stuck something in there wrong and They tried to get back in there and fix it quick, kind of panicky, and yeah, just made things worse, and it locked it up for a bit, and yeah, just, it took me almost 2-3 weeks to finally get them to verify that, yeah, it was me, but yeah, I didn't know about the whole little breach they had with somebody trying to get someone's account stuff. Oh, geez, that's terrible. Good thing that didn't happen when I was dealing with my issue, because that would have probably been even harder. Anyways, though. But yeah, it's it's got to be secure. I mean, it's money you're dealing with here, and you don't want stupid things to happen. So, I mean, I really can't blame them for their security and everything else and trying to run around, because I mean, they don't really want to get screwed over either. Anyways, though, but good with all that there with being at camp and solar panels. Too bad you couldn't sell it back to National Grid, but you're probably off the grid anyways. I don't know. Well, anyways, let's see here. I guess I'm at the bottom of the list. Anyone else out there for the Black River Valley ServiceNet? This is WX2PJF. I don't think you have National Grid down there in Boonville. You got your own little municipality power. Forgot about that. Anyway, let's see here. This is WX2PJR with the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Anyone else out there wishing to check in, please call now. Oh, are there any, this is WX2PJR, Net Control for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Looking for any further check-ins. Are there any comments, queries, or late check-ins?
KD2AIT.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, in Boonville we have municipal power, but up here at camp there is no power. There's not even any power lines up here. So it's solar power or generator or nothing else. So yeah, it would be nice if, because I'm not here most of the time, and once the solar panels charge up the batteries, the power goes nowhere. It would be nice if I could dump that back into a grid and at least, you know, get a check somewhere along the line. But, well, anyway, that's the deal up here, KD2AID.
That's still the relatively free power at this point anyways. After so long, I guess they eventually pay for themselves, so not too bad with that. But yeah, kind of a nice setup. Or you can use candles. There you go. I don't know. anyways, thanks for the additional there, Jeff. See, anyone else out there, additional or any queries or comments? Hearing none. We'll close the Black River Valley service net and return the frequency to regular amateurs. I want to thank everyone that checked in, George, Jack, and Jeff. And anyone out there that's listening, so this is WX2PJR. I'll be clear.
888.
On the phone, get back to you in a minute.
Copy that.
AIT listening.
KC2MRL, KC2WI.
KC2MRL. Yeah, how you doing tonight, Pete?
Not too bad. I snowmobiled up to Brandingham for the meeting, and I had a plan, actually, to go down, snowmobile down and put the snowmobile on the trailer and pick up my tractor and trailer, which is down in Port Lytton, and then head down and visit Jeff down in at his camp down there on the North Lake Road. But I got him on the radio after the meeting. He said, oh, my wife says, coming in, we're going to go out for lunch. So that blew that idea. But I was out and did a little trail clearing, cut some brush and stuff like that, and picked up the vehicle anyway, so it wasn't bad. KC2MRL, KC2WI.
Yeah, KC2WI is KC2MRL. Did you hear that amazing background?
I don't really hear much of a noise, but you're definitely not full quieting, so you might be getting some interference there. I don't know if you want to fiddle with it a little bit, or are you at camp?
Yeah, I'm at camp. My laptop, you are. I do hear some of coming across. I don't know who it is.
There's a repeater in Syracuse or someplace. I know when Jack tries to check in, he's, I can't remember. Maybe it's KBUK or Jake. He's talking about getting interference from that other repeater. If that one goes, he can't hear this one. So maybe you're in the right spot. You're hearing that.
Rochester repeater. This is KD2AIT. Yeah, it is, Jack.
Yeah, okay, Rochester. I don't know. Could be you're up on the hill there, so that might be it. I'm on the phone here. Let me get back to this. I'll get back to you in a minute.
This is KD2AIT. I'll be clearing QSY.
This is W2JUV for ACT-10, United County Traffic and Emergency Net, looking for stations to check in this evening.
This is KD2AIT. Good evening, no traffic.
That recognizes KD2, Alpha India Tango. Any others out there, stations, like to check in with us tonight?
KC2MBU, good evening, no traffic.
KC2NBU, good evening to you. Any other stations like to check in with the Knight County Traffic and Emergency Net this evening? ACT-10, Knight County Traffic and Emergency Net, looking for stations to check in. Knight County Traffic and Emergency Net, looking for stations to check in to this session. Okay, thanks to those who checked in. This is W2JUV for Act 10 returning to 145.17.
KC2MRL, KC2WI.
KC2WI.
You were in and out of the repeater that time, and I don't know if, Jeff, if you're still there too, I can, I almost was going to come down today anyway, but, a little too late. But I got the trailer, so maybe some other time. I don't know, Frank, if you got a handheld or if you're moving something around, but the first time you were at least in the repeater, but that last one you dropped out. That's good. You're not full quieting, but you're in.
Yeah, went down the room today and looked at a new Tundra.
I hate to tell you this, but I was at Stewart's in Lyons Falls, of course, you know, who would know, and I got gas and I was inside and I see this guy pulls up to the gas pumps with a Tundra, new Tundra, and some other guy went over and talked to him, I guess it was somebody new, and the guy was just rode down from Turin, and so I walked out there and I'm like, oh, and talked to him for a minute, and he says, yeah, this is a 2013, it's the short track Tundra, the Tundra Sport or whatever, with a 550. He got it for his dad. He says, we're going to mostly use it around the woodlot and this and that. He got the thing, it had 5 miles on it or something like that. The previous owner bought it, didn't like it, I don't know, had problems, carburetors were loading up, took it into the dealer, said, clean it up, oh, and then he called it back and said, well, sell it if you can. He paid $4,800. It's not the Tundra LT, and it's the 550, you know, but he said the list price was $7,800 or something. And he said, the only thing is there's no warranty left on it. I said, so what for $4,800? The things are indestructible pretty much, you know, I mean, unless you do something stupid, they're not going to break.
Yeah, I looked at, this one was a long track. I don't know what we're doing. It was 154. I think it was actually at the
554
on the
electric side. Okay, the LT with a 550, yeah, I know that because if it was the 600 eighth, it would have to be electric start. You know, Frank's got one of those.
Yeah, I know Frank. Yeah, that 600 eighth, is that 600 motors?
Everything that I have ever read from on dotalk.com, everybody loves that motor. The only problem that I see with it is basically it's heavy. You know, it's a four-stroke, so it's heavier than a two-stroke. It's a lot. It's a very. It's expensive and complicated. But everybody loves that motor. You know, unless they want to go 90 miles an hour. And what they say about that is the thing, it's real, real quiet. And I know Bill Payne at the end of the street here got a 900 ace for machine for his Renegade. I don't know if it's a Renegade or just an MXV, whatever, for his wife. And he starts the thing up, and she just, you know, got it. And he says, go here, right around the yard. She goes 100 feet away and can't hear it. It's so quiet. The 600 is probably about the same. I rode one once a few years ago, and it was late, real late season over in Old Forge at the demos, and it was just, you know, just a foot and a half of corn snow, sloppy snow. I couldn't really tell, but I liked it. And what I noticed about it is if you just sneeze on the throttle, you're moving. You know, there's no tacking it up and the clutch coming in and spinning. You just put the weight of your thumb on that throttle and it's moving, And what everybody says on the Tundras is it's got such good low, really low RPM, low speed torque that you can basically crawl your way out of anything. You just don't get it stuck. I mean, if you do, God help you, because it's 500 and whatever pounds, but they just said they just, you know, you really have to do something stupid or, you know, fall through the ice or something. They just don't get stuck. And if they do, you know, with a little bit of smarts, you can pretty much drive yourself out. So I think it's a great motor. If I was going to buy a new snowmobile, I would probably get the 600 Ace, you know, and they say on a short track MXZ they get 28 miles per gallon. I don't believe they get that on a Tundra, but people are saying they, you know, it's pretty good. So my theory is about the weight. All right, so the engine weighs maybe another 50 pounds over a 550. So, but you don't, you get 20 some odd miles per gallon instead of 10. So you put half as much, you know, only put a couple, three gallons of gas in the tank if you know what you're going to do is a bunch of local, you know, off-trail boondocking. And it would almost make up for it. I like it because of the mileage, and I probably wouldn't buy a Tundra. I'd probably buy a Renegade, you know, give up a little on the belly pan stuff. And have it for a nice, good long-distance trail machine with some off-trail capability, because I got my freestyles that are pretty good off-trail, you know. I'd love to have a Tundra with a full belly pan. It would be even better, but, you know, I'm only going to buy so many snowmobiles. So, yeah, the 600 Ace is supposed to be real good.
Yeah, we had both. I was looking at that. Price-wise, they're pretty close, so there wasn't too much difference. Yeah, I had to go in the afternoon, I said, here, and heck, you couldn't go at all with my lost cause.
Yeah, well, you got a short track, you know, regular 121, and Wednesday night, I actually rode my snowmobile to go do a job. It was really cool. I went down to Port Lyden and I replaced a laser printer, color laser printer scanner assembly. It took me 2 hours. And then I came back and attempted to ride up the hill from Lyons Falls the back way to Branningham, and I got going up there, and the track started spinning. It was just because it was ice underneath. And a couple times today, I was off boonying a little bit, and the same thing. The snow is just it's not packy enough, you know. It's just still too fluffy. But a short track could even be worse. Frank likes his 550. He's the only person I've ever heard say he likes that better than the 600 Ace. Here's the advantage of the 550 is cheaper. It's simple. It's a old-fashioned carbureted, you know, motor. There's no computer, you know, no fancy. I mean, there's a electronic module, but there's no real fancy electronics controlling the whole thing. It's fan cooled, so you don't have to worry about if you've got loose snow, and that's one thing Frank said. He rides in and out of his house every day, and he says, I got to be able to do it whether there's snow on the ground, loose snow on the ground, or it's just clear ice. And, you know, it's electronic reverse because it's a two-stroke, just run the motor backwards. So there are some advantages to the 550, but and if you're just riding it around your woodlot or local stuff, you know, not doing lots of miles, you maybe could live with a 10, 11 miles per gallon. But that's I have one complaint about mine. You go on any kind of a trip and you're always worried about gas. And, you know, I went out today. I went up to Branningham, went over across the lake to Kovach's, made a little loop around of Single Mill Falls, and came down the hill to the back way to Lyons Falls, and I had to put, I don't know, and I rode 50 miles was it yesterday, whatever, you know, and I dumped a bunch of gas into it, and I actually went over to Port Lyden and the Bob J's and put it on the trailer, and I topped it back off again. So, you know, I mean, for 50 miles, it's expensive, but, or 70 or 80, whatever I ended up with today, out of 2 days. But it's a good motor. I've not had any problems with mine, and they don't care if it's 20 below or if it's, you know, I've ridden it in 60 degree weather, but nothing bothers it.
Yeah, he said he's like back from the dealer, though. He said he'd take mine in trade.
Well, so you were thinking about the LT and, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could argue either one of either motor, but I kind of like the fuel economy, and I really like the sounds of that, you know, what everybody's saying about the torque for off-trail. And I, like I said, I couldn't really test it out well. It was maybe 2010 or something. I went to Old Forge, and it was a real warm, and, you know, there was like that 18 inches of corn snow, and it, you know, you couldn't really tell, but it seemed pretty nice.
Yeah, it was looking like it's on the extreme there, but you didn't have one of them around at all.
You cut out a little there, but I think you're talking about the Tundra Extreme. You don't want that. That's a 600 ETAC motor, which is, I think, overpowered for a sled you're going to ride off-trail. In fact, it's really interesting. They're good motors, you know. They get pretty good mileage, and they use very little oil and all that stuff. But they're 120 horsepower. I don't know what the... maybe it's 100. I don't know. But that girl that I was riding there with Rebecca, you know, she goes on about how she was a snowmobile guide out in Idaho and this and that. She's done all kinds of stuff. But she was over in Redfield with somebody a few weeks ago, and someone, and they had a 600 and an 800 Renegade. And that would be the 600 ETAC and 800 ETAC. And she was telling me how, oh yeah, we were going 85 miles an hour on the lake, in the deep snow and all this stuff. But after she rode my mild-mannered freestyle with a 550, she said, that's the best, I like that, that's the best snowmobile I ever rode. I didn't like the other one because it was just too wild. It was, you know, it was always jerking me back. It was just too much, you know, basically too much power, too high performance. So the Tundra Extreme would be like that. It's a 600 ETAC, and I would go with an LT 550 or 600 Ace. The only advantage of the ETAC is you get kind of the fuel economy, you know, not quite the same as the 600 Ace, but you get maybe 20 miles per gallon instead of 10 or 18 or instead of 10 or whatever. And it's still fairly light because it's a two-stroke, and you get the electronic reverse, but it's not nearly as light because it's a liquid cool. So you got to add the heat exchangers and the liquid cooling, and it makes them heavier. So, and I think that they really get a premium for that one too. So I wouldn't even consider that if you want to go, you know, eastern riding off trail, maybe out west. You know, deep snow where basically at high altitudes where you kind of need that power because you lose it as you go up in altitude. But I would stick with a, you know, if I really was just going to go local riding off-trail stuff, I might be inclined to stick with a 550 just because of the lighter weight. No, I didn't hear that transmission at all. You didn't even break the, you know, you didn't key the repeater up at all until you said, did you copy that?
Yeah, this battery's getting dead. I got to plug this with you back in. Yeah, I'll give you an hour later then. 73, have a good evening. Yeah, we just up here to camp, take it easy. Hey, have a good one. KC2MRL, obviously, I'm fine.
Yeah, okay. What does he want to give you for yours, and what does he want? What is he giving you for a price on the new Tundras?
He wanted to see mine, but he didn't offer any price. But he was $7,700 or $7,800 for the Tundra. It was leftover.
Yeah, there's no difference really. I don't think between last year and this year, but some minor subtle thing, but they're the same. And, you know, full warranty and all that, that's probably not too bad. Yeah, you probably won't get that much for yours. I mean, it's in nice shape, but, you know, it's the older style chassis, and as soon as Ska-Doo came out with the rider forward stuff, because all the other manufacturers, you know, really scrambled for a couple of years to catch up and get put their version of that out. And the older sleds, I mean, they're great, but they, you know, the new designs have driven the prices down. Does yours have a reverse, and does it have electric start?
Well, it's got reverse, no electric start.
I'm just asking because I might know somebody who might be interested. She probably wants electric, but you know what? If it doesn't start that hard, that might be the thing. But you got to have reverse because she can't pick it up. And if the price is right, you know, I kind of doubt it, but I could mention it if you do, you know, if you do think you're going to do that, and that might be, maybe that's better than trading it, and maybe not, because when you trade it, you know, that price comes off the sale price, and so you don't pay tax on that amount, you know, the trade-in value. But anyway, something to think about.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I haven't decided anything yet, but if I do, I'll definitely give you a
holler. All right. I'll let you go. Charge the battery, whatever. I think it's pretty nice out. It was nice when I came home. It was really nice last night, I know. I went out late just to, I don't know, cover the snowmobile or something. Boy, it was real nice. It'd be a nice night to be in camp, I think, tonight, too. Talk to you later, KC2WI.
73, KC2MRL.